Phil Leff here at Cork and Carry, along with my friend Harry Seinowitz, who's filling in for Wendy. John Williams is also here. And our next guest is Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. HollywoodChicago.com. Talk about the film tours really quickly, Patrick. I want people to know about these film tours.
Opening day is tomorrow, and we do a tour where we take people around the city. We show them video clips, and then we show them the sites of where actual movies were shot in the great city of Chicago.
That's excellent.
Yes.
That's excellent.
What are some of the more popular sites?
Well, of course, Wrigley Field. But we do history.
Right, Ferris Bueller.
Right, we do history. They have the old SNA studios on the north side, which to me is one of the most quintessential places. And, of course, there's some really good Blues Brothers stuff in Lower Wacker. I mean, it's a great tour. It takes care of everything that you want to know about Chicago film. If you love Ferris and all that, it's all there. We're all there. So tomorrow, 12:30, Sunday, 12:30, opening weekend.
Excellent.
Thank you for the plug.
I hear good. I hear nothing but good things. The movie that everybody's talking about,
yes,
is Jordan Peele's movie Us.
Yes.
I've heard on John's show, I've heard you discuss this movie at great lengths. I've been told I can only talk about it in five-second intervals because I'm not allowed to give anything away.
Right.
But, boy, is that an entertaining movie, Patrick.
Well, you know, I think there was a lot of mix in it. He was trying to pay an homage to his 80s, you know, those 80s sleepaway camper films.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, put his symbolism in there.
Right.
And I think those two things kind of fought each other in the film. I thought it was more conventional than Get Out.
Did you really?
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, that's just my opinion.
I have to say, of the movies I've seen in the last several years, there was more screen talking per moment than most films that I'm used to.
Interesting.
And I always want to explain to people that no matter how convincing your argument is to the people on screen, as you tell them, don't go in there or stay away from that, they filmed the movie a year and a half ago, so no matter how convincing your argument is, people are still going to do whatever they want to do
exactly.
In the movie. Right?
And we had some good shouting at the preview audience that I saw.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. All right, we're going to talk about great baseball moments in movies in a little while.
Right.
But first, let's talk about movies that are coming out this week.
Right.
I guess the one that's getting the most hype is probably Shazam.
Shazam!
Right?
Yeah. The Gomer Pyle song.
Gomer Pyle's version of Shazam.
No, it's it is the superhero movie. Of course, DC Comics is putting out Shazam. The character was originally called Captain Marvel, of course.
Right.
When it came out in 1939, this is a long-time character, 80 years old,
right.
You know? And so they got the character again in 1972, but they couldn't use Captain Marvel because Stan Lee had bought Captain Marvel as
right.
the rights.
Right.
But they still called the character Captain Marvel until 2011, and here we are with the movie. They use the origin story of when they rebooted the comic in 2011. Billy Batson's no longer a newspaper boy.
Oh.
He is a he's a foster child.
Oh, okay.
Another foster child made good movie.
Yeah.
So so he goes into this foster family. One of the kids is a superhero nerd. Somehow gets on a subway in Philadelphia that takes him to the Rock of Eternity, where the wizard Shazam presides, played by Damon Honso, in a great, great role. He's kind of like George Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And, he gives him the magic word, and Zachary Levi becomes the hero. Now, they make a joke about what's his name. They don't know his name. They just know Shazam, you know, so it's really well done.
In the version I remember as a kid, the Saturday morning version,
It
wasn't one guy who bestowed these powers on Billy Batson.
Right.
But it was a god. It was gods that had the letters S H A Z N M.
Exactly,
right?
they're Greek gods.
Yeah.
You know, the Mercury,
Zeus,
Achilles, Zeus,
Danny.
Lesser known,
right.
Lesser known gods.
What about Dumbo? Is Danny
Dumbo's a different movie.
Yes,
here. That's a totally different movie.
Dumbo is also coming out.
Yes,
right?
It came out last week.
Right.
Yeah.
How is that doing?
Well, you know, I like the dark elements in it. I like the Tim Burton elements in it. I thought Michael Keaton was great.
Now, yeah.
I hope the whole movie would be about him, but the story was so lame. I mean, they had a 64-minute cartoon version that they doubled the time in.
Yeah.
All the backstory stuff. Eh.
Oh,
you know,
that's
three out of five, and 3 out of 5 for us too.
For Shazam?
No, for Shazam, 3 out of 5.
Three out of five, also.
I thought again, it was a conventional superhero story, Again, I didn't know the new origin, so that surprised me. I thought it was going to be, you know, the lame newspaper boy again.
Yeah.
But it's more goofy than innocent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They play it for laughs.
Right.
Right?
The whole, it felt like a paint-by-numbers version of a superhero story. Kind of fell flat for me. But it's very fun, very diversionary, more for kids, I think, than usual.
Can you explain this? For years and years and years in Hollywood, there's no movies about Captain Marvel. And then there's a movie 3 weeks ago about Marvel's Captain Marvel, and then now DC's Captain Marvel.
Stan Lee bought the title in 1967. He kept that comic revived only to maintain the copyright.
To mess with DC?
Totally with DC.
Oh, that's
not
right.
He loved doing that.
Yeah.
No, he loved doing it. It was all in fun.
Yeah.
He even appeared in DC Comics later in his career when he became Stan Lee.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole Captain Marvel thing was designed to have Marvel in Marvel.
Right.
And then suddenly, here it is, a multi-million-dollar movie. I said, Allison through the looking glass has nothing on us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Now, in the Saturday morning version, it was the Shazam ISIS hour, but you can't have a hero called ISIS anymore.
Mighty ISIS.
You can't do that.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And she was one of those that broke my latency.
Joanna Cameron. Very pretty. Very pretty. All right.
Yes.
That's the big movie opening this week, is Shazam.
Right.
But what else is opening?
We have the Stephen King reboot called Pet Sematary. This was a reboot of the 1989 movie, and it stars Jason Clarke, Amy Steinmetz, John Lithgow. A couple locates from Boston to rural Maine with their two young children. They soon discover a mysterious burial ground hidden deep in the woods.
Oh, those are the worst burial grounds, the mysterious.
Did you see the original Pet Sematary?
Loved it.
Okay, well, this one is getting high reviews. I didn't review it, but very high reviews on the interwebs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the other one, of course, is The Best of Enemies to Raji B. Henson, Sam Rockwell, play real-life Ann Atwater and C.P. Ellis, a civil rights leader and KK member who must solve a school-ordered desegregation process in the early 70s. With Green Book winning Best Picture, aren't we done with these buddy pictures?
Oh, interesting.
Aren't we done with them? So,
is there a mysterious burial ground in this one?
I hope so.
I love the mysterious burial ground.
They should put the KKK in it.
We're about 4 weeks away from Long Shot. I'm hearing great things about Long Shot.
I just saw the preview. It's an amazing, fun movie. I love that movie. I want to say anything else. But
Watch that one.
Yeah, the new Seth Rogen movie.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. More with Patrick O'Donnell as he takes us through some great baseball movies, great baseball moments in movies.
With the White Sox.
With the White Sox.
That's right.
Specialized it. I love
that.
Patrick McDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. Visit the website, HollywoodChicago.com. Patrick, over the years, there have been so many great baseball movies,
but
you wanted to focus especially on the Chicago White Sox.
That's right. Their appearances in the movies over the years, it's pretty strong, I would say.
Have there been any movies specifically about the Chicago White Sox? Or
not so much specifically, but they're always in the background. The top three, of course, is Eight Men Out, Field
about
of
the
Dreams.
Scandal.
Right. About the scandal 100 years ago this very year.
It does not paint Charlie Comiskey in a good light.
No, it does not.
The old Roman.
All right, so that was the first one.
Yes. And then Field of Dreams, of course, when the 1919 White Sox come out of the cornfield to get redemption.
You know, Ray Liotta is no longer smoking. Did you see this?
I was not aware of that,
I barely recognize the guy.
Wow.
He just totally stopped smoking.
He needs to smoke.
Chantix. He's using the Chantix.
Nice aside, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
And he was a right-handed shoeless Joe Jackson because, of course, he was left-handed.
Didn't that also happen in Pride of the Yankees where Gary Cooper, they filmed him one way and they had to reverse the film?
Exactly.
Right?
They filmed him in reverse. They have a picture of him with the logo backwards. They also did that in the Babe Ruth story with William Bendix.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Also filmed at the old Comiskey Park.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Yeah, Pride of the Yankees.
Yep. That's where Luke Gehrig meets his wife.
Tanglefoot.
Tanglefoot. Their big Tanglefoot scene. Exactly. Very good, Harry.
All right. So did you mention all three or did you mention two?
No, two. The third one is the Stratton story. Jimmy Stratton. Right. 1949. He pitched for the White Sox in the 1930s. He lost his leg in a hunting accident. He never came back to the majors. That seems to be like a misnomer, but he didn't play
in the
again.
Movie. Patrick, yeah. Did they show him pitching in the majors afterwards? They did, right? Or they
did they? I can't remember. I
believe they did.
Yeah.
So they
but
had
the
one,
real story is he only pitched in the minors.
So the White Sox at one point had Monty Stratton, who did not have a leg, and they also had Jim Abbott, who was without an arm, right?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
If they could have signed Tom Dempsey.
Tom Dempsey was missing a foot?
Yeah, half a foot.
Walt Williams?
No neck. Heck.
He could have kicked the baseball.
Right, Albert Bell? No heart.
And there's that guy in the NFL right now.
We're this close to coming up with our fantasy three-limb team.
Right. The White Sox have won the league, I think, in that. That's fantastic.
You can borrow them from other teams, other sports, but let's just get 9. Let's get 27 limbs out there.
Right. That's all we ask.
So I have to mention 3 great cameos of
the
White Sox.
These are other movies that featured White Sox players at some point in the movie.
And we're going to start with a Bill Left starring film, Major League 2.
Yes.
Of course, we have Jack Parkman, played by the great David Keith, who faces off in the batter's box against Wild Thing Charlie Sheen,
right?
And he is a White Sox slugger.
So. Many people have called that movie Major League 2 the Casablanca of our generation.
Yes,
Do you see it that way?
Are those people at this table right
None
now?
None of them are. No.
Okay.
None of them are.
Just wondering.
Nope.
And right, we mentioned prior the Yankees, and of course, Only the Lonely with John Candy, the famous picnic scene in Old Comiskey Park.
A beautiful scene.
2 weeks before the first wrecking ball hit.
How about that? But a very, very nice scene. Was that their second date or something in the movie?
I believe so. Yeah. And you know, he was connected because he was a cop. But the thing was, John Hughes produced the movie. Chris Columbus directed.
Right.
But Hughes wanted to film the Ferris Bueller scene in Old Comiskey because he was a White Sox fan. But he couldn't do it because of schedule. And I think Ferris Bueller and Wrigley Field is part of the legacy of why Wrigley Field is popular.
Right. You know? Yeah, right. And Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That great movie, too.
Bill, what was your favorite scene in Only the Lonely?
That would be the scenes that my wife is in.
Yeah.
My wife, Terry, plays John Candy's sister-in-law in that movie.
That is so
She's in
awesome.
It quite a bit. And her kids are played by Macaulay and Kieran Culkin in that movie.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And also, too, your legacy in baseball movies in the family is crazy.
Right. Yeah, well, I told you this. After the second Major League movie, my grandparents thought I was in every baseball movie. So they would say, hey, we watched Pride of the Yankees last night. I'd go, yeah. You were great in it. I don't think I was in Pride of the Yankees. But thank you for that.
Angels in the Outfield. Yeah, I was one of the Angels.
Yeah.
All right.
No big deal. All right, and then you have another one, another White Sox cameo in a movie or not?
We talked about it. We talked about it, Pride of the Yankees. Lou Gehrig meets his wife, Eleanor, at Comiskey Park, Old Comiskey Park, and they actually filmed there.
If you had to pick the best baseball movies of all time, Pride of the Yankees would certainly be up there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What is it about that movie that's so great?
I think the combination of sentimentality, the time it was done, Gary Cooper is Lou Gehrig, and the fact that, you know, of course, Gehrig met a tragic end.
Yeah.
And you just, the combination and the way they put it together in the context of how baseball was back then and how movies were back then, it's like a beautiful history lesson.
Where is we're talking about all the male baseball movies.
Yes.
But I believe there's a certain female baseball movie filmed in this city. Where's that rank?
A League of Their Own.
Well, you know, a League of Their Own is a classic sort of background movie where World War II is the forefront, and of course they had to start a new baseball league because the men were going off to war.
Right.
Now they did film a key scene in Wrigley Field, the scene where everybody tries out.
Right.
And I have that on the tour.
The most iconic line in the movie, Patrick, for my money, there's no crying in baseball.
That's right.
Because you know what? As Chicago fans, we know that there is crying in baseball.
Oh, there's a lot of crying.
There's a lot of crying.
Where are you guys all on The Natural? Do we love that, or do we think that movie's too weird?
Here's the thing about The Natural. The book is a classic. Have you ever read the Bernard Melvin book? Okay, you must. It is one of the great baseball novels ever written, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The ending in the movie is different from the ending in the book. And, and at the time, I thought it suffered. Now I think it's a classic.
The movie, you like it?
Well, yeah, I do. I do.
By the way, that team we were making earlier with the guys that had, like, you know, half an arm, half a foot.
Yeah.
I figured out who could sing the national anthem
for
us.
Who would that be, Harry?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, you're so good.
You're still working on that.
Yeah. Okay.
You're so good. What's the worst baseball movie of all time?
Oh, gosh.
That fair or unfair? Is that unfair?
Well, name something. I don't
They're not here, Bill. I think it's okay.
Oh, what was that one with Jim Belushi where the Cubs were winning the World Series and he was part of it? I can't remember the name
of
it.
Oh, I don't remember that at
That's
all.
That's not good.
Was that just a dream you had or was that an actual movie? That could have been a dream. Patrick, we're so glad you
came
out.
I see you, Jim Belushi. Hi.
Is he here? Hi, Jimmy. Nice to see you.
You're the best.
It's Patrick McDonald, everybody. Go to HollywoodChicago.com.
Yep.
We're going to turn things over. Absolutely.
Undrafted.
We're going to turn things over to John in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill Left, Harry Tynowitz, and for Wendy on WGN.